Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
For those who have ears, let them hear. I was thinking about that today. For those who have ears, let them hear the sound of God speaking to us, Jesus Christ, speaking into our lives through His Word. What a beautiful sound that is. Let's face it, everyone does want to hear from the Lord. I've never met a brother or sister in Christ that does not want to hear from God, that does not want to hear just in their heart of hearts Him speaking the truths of who He is and His plan for us. We want to hear it. And even people who don't believe, they're looking for an answer. They're looking for a word. They're looking for something and a place to be, a place to believe, a word to hear. It's just hard to hear God sometimes. It is. I mean, we want to, we desire to, we know we need to, but it's hard sometimes. And sometimes it's harder than hard. And sometimes all we are, we feel like we're left with just ourselves. So, just to give you an example, in case you guys aren't tracking with me, has anyone ever walked up to me trying to say something and you get no response? Right. Then anybody who's been around me long enough to know who I am, I'm a million different places, but it's mostly because I'm partially deaf. I know that it doesn't seem like when I'm talking to you right now that I'm hard of hearing, but I've listened to a lot of loud heavy metal music. And it's definitely affected my hearing. Some people think that dude is the most common word I use, but it's actually what? What did you say? It really is. Even if I could hear you, and even if I've stopped, would I want to respond how you want me to? I think about this. I think about hearing. I think about speaking. I think about the concept of how we want God to respond to us when we speak to Him and we want to hear Him. And with that, I have to think, well, there's a difference between hearing and listening, isn't there? Or at least to hear and to listen when we like listening in the aspect of we hear something and then we act on it. When we act on that, when we act on what we're hearing, we do this for many reasons. We act when we listen, when we move forward. There's some things that are involved. The reason we want to listen, the reason we want to hear, the reason we want to move forward, the reason we long to hear from others. And one of them is just simple. It's for instruction. Even from when we're little, you know, we need instruction. Not to hurt ourselves. Instruction how to take care of ourselves. Instruction to learn how to communicate with others, maybe without offending them. But there's other reasons. Besides those things, also, we'd like to hear people speak into our lives. We like to hear words that build us up. And for some people, we get so used to it, we even want to hear people tear us down. And sometimes we listen because we care. For me, I want to say that I've always had a hard time listening to anyone. Besides, I mean, now I'm just old and deaf. But before that and before that and before that, when I was younger, I had a real hard time listening to anyone or anything. I had a hard time hearing and then wanting to behave in the way I was being told to. I just listened to myself, really. It seemed as, I don't know, I had a better sense of what I needed than anyone else. Therefore, listening to others is really, to me, was a waste of time. And I know my brothers and sisters, for us that have walked with the Lord for so many years, that we can get that way. We can get that way on the other side of the cross. We got to be careful. But I remember, like, when I was, the first time I heard the Ten Commandments, I remember because the Lord was introduced into my house till later in life. I was probably like 10 or so, and I remember like the first time my mom tried to impress upon me the value of the Ten Commandments. I was like, wow, man, that's wise. That's so wise. That's so good. Who wrote that? But then, you know, it was pretty good until, you know, I desired something that I couldn't have, or that I was in trouble and it was asking, requiring me to tell the truth. See, then all of a sudden it was like, no, wait, back this boat up. This ain't right. Or the times, you know, that just many times where it just was too much to listen or to obey. God, most of the time when we are to listen and to obey, somehow gets the worst of us. He knows it. He knows he gets the worst of us. It's not this is a huge surprise to him. See, we know truth. We know God's wisdom when we hear it, just like I did when I was 10. Like when we're younger, we're just a little more open to those things, I think, as we get older and get jaded and get a little more hard-hearted. When hard things happen to us, bad things happen to us, we begin to, you know, cut it out. That's not real life. That's not reality. You know, God's truth, yeah, it's subjective. But deep inside, I believe that we know truth when we hear it. We know wisdom when we hear it. We know the wisdom that God has shared with us. But somehow, every time we try to be obedient, we just, we end up being disobedient. So we are like that. Huh, God? I can't hear you anymore. Lord, I'm sorry, what was that? And as we slowly live our life, even though we say we desire to listen to him, yet our lives, we keep on doing opposite of what he's asking us to do. And so slowly, 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 we tune him out. Why do we do this? Why do we tune him out? How can we hear him better, guys? I mean, that's the point of me standing up here, right? Everybody wants to hear. How can we listen to the Lord? How can we hear him better? Sure, we need to wait on the Lord and pray. That's the right answer, right? Everybody's like, yes, wait on the Lord and pray. Great. Yes, that's right. We are to wait on the Lord and pray. But tonight, I want to look at what is not, so we can see what is. Sometimes we like to, you know, it's in reverse. I like to see bad behavior so we can see good behavior. God allows this. You're like, God allows bad behavior? Well, we wouldn't have the examples in the Bible of all these people making all these great mistakes, these profound mistakes, right? So I figure God must be saying something if he's allowed us to see, listen, and learn from the mistakes of other people's lives through his word. So, you know, if they're a Bible and the Bible was a concept album, I'd say that the album's name would be Salvation for Everyone, right? And we could hear that. We love music, don't we? We love music. We love to hear music. You know, I can tell you right now that music has just been a huge part of my life. Again, that's why I can't hear. And in order that I can make my point so I can drive home what I want to say tonight, we're going to look at the first king of Israel, Saul. So don't turn anywhere just yet. I want to talk about Saul for just a moment. Here's a man who is nobody, just looking for his donkey, really. He's a man looking for his donkey. And here he ends up being the king of Israel. Now, I don't think if you would have told Saul when he woke up that morning that he was going to end up being the king of Israel when his biggest worry was to find his donkey and take it back home. But we see that Saul became a great man. And he had, it says in 1 Samuel 9:2, that he was like the choicest of men. He was a handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person that he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Was chosen to be the commander of God's army. Wow. You can't get no better than that. Looking for a donkey and stumble into that? I mean, dude, God's got a sense of humor. And so I look at that and I'm just like, wow. So here we have the perfect example. You can't get a finer specimen of the humankind in front of, you know, the Lord, this relationship that you know, God wants to have with this guy named Saul to make him the leader of his armies, the commander of his armies. But as we see his story unfold, we find that Saul, as so many of us, start out pretty good. We start out well, but then as the story unfolds, it's not so good. You know, it's his good intentions turn south. And because they turn south, he loses everything. Now, in this passage, for those who are taking notes, we'll be following a pattern. A pattern of what happens when we choose to continually be disobedient to God. We say we want to hear from him. We say we want to hear from him. It comes out of our mouths, but our lives totally go the other way. We say, God, why don't you hear me? God, why don't you do this for me or that for me? But our lives are just not aligned with what God is asking from us. We're not listening to him. We're listening to the sound of our own voice. So here is a pattern of the spiritually deaf. Remember I just said, for those who have ears, let them hear. That's what Jesus was pointing to, a spiritual hearing, to be able to discern the things of God, to be able to discern what God was trying to share with his people, with a lost and dying world. So here we find him. We find him in a really bad place, just so we can look at the things that are going to happen to him. We're going to see, in order to turn up our spiritual hearing aids here, there's going to be some things we need to take note of, some barricades that we put in our way when we're trying to listen to God. And one of them is idols. The second one we're going to see is fear. The third we're going to see is pride. And then we will look at some of the repercussions. We will see the lies, we will see warnings, and we will see consequences. We can turn to 1 Samuel 15, verse 10. So now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Well, I want to give you a little background on Samuel and Saul and where we're meeting Samuel and Saul here at this time. We have a brother who has come alongside another brother to pour into his life. For those of you who don't know, Samuel was a prophet of God. He was the mouthpiece of God. He could hear from God. He was obedient to the Lord. And he was trying to show Saul, a man who was looking for his donkey, what that looked like, trying to help him along. He poured into him. He was there next to him, and he watched a man that he loved dearly fall away from the Lord. Now, for those of you who've done and been in ministry, you can see the heartache when you watch a brother or sister decide not to hear from the Lord anymore, when these things that I've talked about creep in. Here with Samuel, it says he grieved. Now, this isn't just a grieve that we think, well, he cried, you know, Samuel was sad. Actually, in the Hebrew, it means it burned. It burned. It was like a righteous indignation, a holy anger. He was so. Has anybody ever been so angry that they were just in tears? I've seen my wife so mad. She's been, you know, in tears, and it's just like, I don't want to touch that. Right? That is where Samuel was. Samuel was so hurt, so betrayed. He's like, he's thinking, I've done everything for this guy. And so where we've met up with these guys is that Saul has already messed up terribly once. and robbed himself of a huge blessing, the blessing of being the lineage, the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And he robbed himself of that. He robbed himself of that because he could not wait, and he did not listen to Samuel, and he did not listen to the word of God. He did not listen to what God was trying to say to him. And so he lost that. And so now Saul had his physical inheritance, his worldly inheritance, and now he's about to lose it. So we see with him in this anger, it says, so then Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, and it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, now, if you were to know what actually was going on in this context, or for people who've read this passage, our brother Saul is full of it. All right, I don't know, have you ever had a child lie to you like there's nothing wrong? Right, they're just looking at you like, wasn't me, wasn't me. And not even that, but even more arrogant, just to act like there's nothing wrong, to give blessings. Oh, blessings unto you. It didn't mean anything. See, Samuel had heard before Saul even got to him. Samuel knew that Saul had already built a monument, an idol to himself, to proclaim himself to the world over his worldly victory. Now, it might have been a victory in everyone's eyes, but it was not a victory in the Lord's eyes. It wasn't. It wasn't a victory. And so he was not listening to the Lord. He was not doing as he was told. See, he was told to go out and kill all the Amalekites. Kill them all. Take them all out. And to kill every animal, everything. And he comes back and he has A, the king, he kept the king alive, and B, he took the choicest of the animals and said, okay, I did what you said, God. Wrong. And so Samuel knows all this, right? The godly friend that can smell the sin a mile away. Have you ever been, you know, doing something wrong and you have a friend in your life that loves the Lord and is on the right track? And they can just look at you and they just know something's up. Yeah, busted. Busted. That was Saul. Saul was busted. Saul was busted because he wasn't listening to the Lord. And it was because he wanted to build himself up. And not only build himself up, he wanted to look good in the people's eyes. He did. He wanted to look so good in the people's eyes. He's always worried about, you know, well, what do they think? Or you know, the victory, if the victory's in their eyes, it's good. I war with this with a lot of younger people about, they look at all their peers and they're like, well, if they think I had a victory, then we have victory. And, you know, and that's where it ends. You know, my group, if my group says it's good, then we're good. They all of a sudden reality gets flown out. It just flies out the window. And here in this passage, Saul is just, I mean, just laying it on thick. Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Man, no, wrong. You know, it's so funny. I think to myself that, you know, this concept of just it being in Saul's mind, you know, thinking of, oh, all the songs they'll write of me. Oh, the things that people will say of me. Oh, yes. And he's setting himself up on this pedestal. And that's such a dangerous place to be. So here in the next verse, Samuel says, well, what then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And so this is Samuel saying, why do I hear animals that should be dead? And he's like, what? I love all the sound contexts, all the hearing things in this passage. It's all about hearing. It's all about taking in. It's all about listening. And he's like, why am I listening to something that should not be? Right? Why am I doing this? Why am I going through this? You know, and it's also a poke at Saul that, hey, dude, I know you're not doing what God has asked. Why are you coming at me like this? That sent Saul kind of on a spiral. Saul's called out. It's that poke. And Saul said, well, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Okay? So this is bad. This is bad. Because even though he wants everybody to think well of him, now he's about to throw everybody under the bus. The biggest problem with a lot of anyone who doesn't listen to the Lord is that we want that praise, we want the love of others, but as soon as we get called out, we just throw people under the bus. Throw them under the bus. It's so crazy how we want to be seen so good in people's eyes. But then the fear sets in. So we already have set up the idolatry. We have set it up. We look at ourselves, look at how the people look at me. They write songs about me. Bring the minstrels out. But then the fear sets in because it's challenged. And we know that it doesn't stand on truth. As we have fear, excuses start to come up. I go to a kid reference because I'm around so many children. There's nothing like when a child is proud of disobedience, but then they're busted. And then you're like, did you clear off the table? Uh-huh. I was like, why is there still Legos on the table? Uh-huh. I was like, no, what is this? Oh, well, I don't, you know, mom told me to do that, and I had to go downstairs and, right? That's what we do. That's what we do. We live for ourselves. We live for ourselves, and then something bad happens in our lives, and something calls us out, and then the fear sets in because we realize that truth it doesn't sit on truth, and then we're like, oh, God, I don't know, or if one of our friends, our godly friends comes to us and starts asking us questions, there's all these excuses that explode. We just vomit excuses. Because I had to do this. I had to go to the store. The check is in the mail. It just random acts of excuses just come flying out of us. And that is what's happening to Saul. He's being called out. And so that fear, that blame shifting, oh, it wasn't me. These guys, they're so silly. They just brought all that stuff. Don't mind them. Don't mind the sound you shouldn't be hearing. It goes on. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Dude, Samuel's done. Samuel's done. He's like, dude, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not buying this. Be quiet. And I tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And so now, for some reason, Saul, like, he knows he's done. So he's like, speak on. So, guys, this warning to listen that he's giving him, you know, Saul should take heed. And when God's word is spoken to us, we should take heed. We should take heed. I know that so many of us, we're living our lives, we get busy, we're doing our thing, but we really, God, when we go off course, when we go off track, when we're doing our own thing, when we're setting up idols and we're busy giving excuses because we're in fear because we know it's not really on solid ground, what's happening is that God is going to set up a warning. It's just like the fire across the bow. It's like, boom. It's like, did you catch that? It's like, be quiet. Listen. It's this whole passage is about, hey, listen up. Do you have ears? And so I look at this and it says, speak on. So this was not, like I said, Saul's first instance or his first warning, but his second warning. And so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? See, this is the hard part, is that God has given us everything through Christ. He has given us the authority to eternity, a love that never dies, a freedom from the law, a freedom from everything that is death. We've defeated it. We're victorious in it. Saul was free to do what he wanted to do. He was free to listen to the Lord. He didn't have to listen to man. He was the head. He was the leader. He was the one to be the example. And he said, remember when you were nobody? Remember when you were looking for donkeys, Samuel? You could listen then, couldn't you? Remember when we were simple in our ways? Remember when we were little? When we could hear? When we could listen? When things were simpler? So he's letting them have it. Saul had become prideful. And so that's the thing. And we're going to see that pride step out here in a second. Samuel is reminding him where he came from and what the Lord had done. It wasn't by him that he became this great man either. See, we don't get to where we get. Everything that we have has been given to us. Every breath that we have, every exchange with another human being that we have, it's a gift. Every person, do you think the people that are in your life, it's an accident that they're there? We get prideful. We get arrogant. We think like the world revolves around us, and it just simply doesn't. We've been placed here for a very specific purpose, and Samuel is reminding him that the plan that God has, it's not a plan that people have made. So in verse 18, it says, now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Now, I think, you know, maybe some of you are thinking, like, why is God being so uptight right now, right? It's not a big deal. So they didn't kill the king. So, you know, they put him in a prison. They took some of the animals, so what? God set him on a mission, though. Set him on a mission. See, God sends us on a mission in our life. We have a plan, and he did not follow God's orders. How often do we forget that God has sent us on a mission, and I have to think to myself, am I following orders? Am I? Or are we doing just enough to stay comfortable and that everyone will just stay happy? Right? Just if everybody stay happy, it'd be all right. And that's what Saul was trying to do. He was trying to keep the peace. Well, some of my guys want to take the good animals. Okay. Verse 20, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Okay, here we go, Samuel. So Saul's going to rear back to Samuel, and this is what he says. But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Wait. I just brought back the king, but I destroyed all of them. Why did he have to? What was the point? He did not obey, and it's just, to me, it's like when you get in a lie, and then that lie perpetuates another lie, and the lie perpetuates another lie, because our pride rose up. We can't be wrong. Nobody wants to argue, right? How many people don't like to argue in here? I know I'm one. I don't like to argue, but the problem is that sometimes we do need to argue. We do need to talk through things. We do need to communicate. And the problem is here is that when we are not speaking the truth and we are in our pride and we are trying to puff up because we want to be right. No, we may not want to argue, but we really don't like, the feeling of the argument, but we really don't like the feeling of being wrong. Right? And so it's a dangerous place. And so he goes on with this pride. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord, the God in Gilgal. Wow. He just drops more just garbage. It just really, there's no truth in it. He's doing nothing that the Lord has asked. He wants to put his own spin on it. We want to put our own spin on our lives, don't we? And justify the things we do when they're not exactly what God has called us to do. Or if we know that God is called, isn't that horrible to be called in God's, like God's, you know specifically God's calling you to do something, but you're too scared, you're too afraid to step out in faith, and so you just keep on making excuses, and you keep on going around it the wrong way, and it probably sounds a lot like Saul to Samuel saying, well, I'm doing what you asked me to do, I love you with all my heart. But it's a scary place to be. Because we want to put our own spin on it. A lot of times I don't think we realize we do it. I know that I don't, and I know that I do. So it's this outright lie. He did not do the mission the Lord sent him to do. There is no variation of what the Lord wants us to do that is acceptable besides what God has ordered us to do. So why do we hate that answer? Why do we hate the answer? Why do we hate the answer when the Lord calls us to do what we're supposed to do? You know, it goes back to everything we just looked at. If we're setting up idols in our lives, and we know that it doesn't stand on that truth, and the fear begins to set in, and I don't know about you, but fear consumes us. It, not the fear of God, not that awe of God. I'm talking about the fear of wickedness. The fear, has anybody ever been paranoid? I'm an ex-drug addict, so I know paranoia. And that's a horrible feeling to be paranoid, to look out your window, to wonder if something's going to come to get you. Don't know what it is. It's just something. Something scary. And so we see that, man, Samuel didn't like the answer. Samuel didn't want to hear the answer. So verse 22, we're going to finish this little segment here. And we're going to go back to some of it, but let's just read through here. It says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So Samuel's just dropping it. He's just like, okay, I'm done. He's like, everything that you're doing right now, your sacrifices, whatever you're doing, like you can stop. Because I would rather you listen to what the Lord has to say. Right? I want you to listen to what the Lord has to say. So it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. To obey. To obey, to listen. And when we hear, then we do, right? When we hear, then we do. Not in a dead way, though. Not in a way that's like, there's nothing worse than just the repetitiveness of religiosity, of having to, okay, I'm checking the box. I'm telling you, there's nothing worse than reading your Bible every day just to check the box. Just to check the box. I'm just going to check the box. I read my Bible today. But without listening to the Lord, we need to hear from Him. We need to hear Him. And the only way we can do is to push through all these difficulties, to push through that temptation to set up idols, the temptation to be in fear and to rely on our Lord, you know, to that temptation to want to argue, to let that pride rear up. We have to get past that. And the way we do that is that we're just obedient, that when we hear, we go out and do what He has asked us to do. It's simple, but it's not. And so it says here, that for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. Wow. So he lost everything right there because he wasn't listening to God. You know, a lot of us think that this worldly life is everything we have, but God assures us that this is only the beginning. When we think about that, there should be something more in our heart that would want to go after what He has asked us to do. He's promised us such a great reward. But guys, here He says that rebellion of that is the sin of witchcraft. In the Old Testament, if you were caught in witchcraft, you'd be done. You're dead. You'd be cast out. You'd be killed. Right? Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. That's just wickedness. And the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So here he's saying, Saul, your stubbornness, that pride, that idolatry, dude, you're in sin, bro. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king. And guys, that's the bottom line. If we cannot listen to him, if we can't communicate with him, if we can't have ears to hear, if we are so set in our ways to be that and do that and set up idols and be in fear and rather live in our own little worlds that, you know, would exclude him or put our own spin on it, then how can he be with us? How can he not but reject us? Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. So now Samuel's changed his tune altogether. He's like, oh my gosh, I've sinned. Okay, going back to the people who don't like to argue. Now, when it doesn't work and you're finally called out and all your excuses have failed, your pride has been crushed into dust, but you're still trying to hold on. What you'll do is you will avoid, at all costs, the argument. And so you'll step around it by saying, I'm sorry. I'm one of those guys, you can ask Patrick, my pastor, whenever anything happens, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's just because I don't want to deal with, you know, having to communicate. I'm sorry. And that's what he's saying. I'm sorry. In hopes that the wrath will go around him. That somehow he will be unaffected. And it says, 27 to 31, and as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. Then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Wow. So he's lost everything, but he's still concerned about Samuel worshiping with him. Did you notice that? Did you notice how he was so about Samuel being with him wherever he went? It's interesting because he asked him one time, you know, back here, but Samuel said to Saul, I will not return to you. Samuel's like, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. So Samuel being the word of God saying, he's the voice of God for the people saying, I will not go with you. But yet here he says in verse 30, he says, it's basically Saul on his knees probably begging him, please go with me. Word of God, go with me. Not because I want to follow you, but because, what does it say? Before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me. See, he wanted to look good still. He wanted to still look like he was walking with God. He still wanted to look like he was walking with the Lord. Isn't that crazy? After everything that happened, see, that's what happens when we harden our hearts and we can't hear the Lord no more. We want to look good. We desire to look good. And there's this false repentance that took place here. So why do we care, guys? So why do we care about some spiritually deaf king that made poor choices, right? Why does it matter to us? Well, I'm going to say because this particular story, the story brings out the truth of God's wisdom. It's calling us to hear his eternal sound. Remember, I keep on going back to this hearing, this sound. And that's what he's calling us to do, to hear this eternal sound ringing through our reality. See, and the reason he does this is so we can get past the sound of self. He's trying to get us past ourself. So many of us live to the sound of Saul's playlist. Everybody's got like an iPhone, iPad, some kind of playlist they got on their car these days. Well, if Saul had a playlist, this would be it. Idolatry, fear, pride, lies, right? And living by our own will, listening to ourselves and not to the God that made us. So, you know, we try to make ourselves out to look good in the midst of rejecting God, giving ourselves good appearance and inwardly having no substance. We build idols in our lives that will make people believe we are greater than we really are and believe it will bring us greater relationships than what is promised through God's word. I'm sorry, but I'm notorious for this. I'm not going to lie, guys. It's easy to find my identity in things that aren't of God. I mean, I get to, you know, work with all kinds of people. I get to do ministry with all kinds of people, smart people, good people, loving people. And not only that, get to minister to the sick and the lost and the widows. And it's easy to put all my thought and all my heart and all my effort into those moments thinking, wow, look what a great thing I have done. That's horrible. Isn't that horrible? But isn't there something that you have done in your life that you said, wow, look what I've done? And God says, wow, because last time I checked, I gave you your life. And I've given you your movement, and I've given you your capacity, I've given you your ability, but yet you want to hold on to this identity that is not of Christ. So, we do this, and not only do I do it, famous people do it, sports icons do it, you know, we got slogans, just do it. Be a leader, look good, wear our shoes, people will follow. You are self-empowered. It's true. Saul thought so until he was called out. Then all that came out were excuses, as we said, because that's what we do when we measure up to a holy God that we have not listened to. We have excuses, justifications, but nothing of any substance. You know, it's like when we don't like the sound of a certain music. Is there a certain music you guys don't like? You know, sometimes what I think is that we just don't like the sound because it's foreign to our ears. And I believe if there's any sound that's foreign to our ears, it's the God sound. It's the God sound. You know, most people will say when they hear the God sound, well, that's for the fanatic. That's for the hypocrite. That's for the uptight. That's for the dullard. That's for people who need it. Oh, James, you need the Lord, but I need to live my own life. Praise the Lord. Not me. I jam to the classic tracks. I save friends, work for the weekend, or, you know, the achy breaky spouse. That's a horrible, that's not even a real song. I made that up. But you get the point. You get the point. We'd rather live in our own little worlds, in our own little sets of misery, our little worlds of happiness and slavery. Or, you know, if I had a lot of days, it's just that if I could have a song that said people suck. Now, come on, let's be real here. See, these are the title tracks to our lives, the songs of vanity, the songs of works, the songs of lust, the songs of sin. Can you imagine what the sound of sin sounds like? What do you think it sounds like? Do you think it sounds hard rock? What do you think? Classical? You know what I think it sounds like? A lullaby. I think it sounds like a lullaby. Luring us in, making us relax, so it can snatch us up, carry us away. Do you hear it? Do you hear the lullaby? Do you hear the sound that's luring you away? Always looking for an excuse to cover our ears, aren't we? To not hear what God has to say. Since Adam and Eve has covered their privates, we've been trying to cover up our ears in disobedience. See? We have to remember, even though all this is going on, and even though we are this way, and even though this is our natural tendency, God has so much mercy. And, you know, he's sending us warnings all the time. Remember the warnings I just shared with you? He's throwing them out there. God is putting people in your life, people that have the truth, people who love the Lord, people who have that eternal love in their heart. He's putting them in your lives. Are you listening to them? Are you holding on to them? If you don't have someone like that in your life, you need to find one and you need to hold on to them for dear life. I'm so grateful for the men and women that God has put in my life. I don't know where I'd be. They've given me ears to hear. They've allowed me to sharpen my thought process and my heart that I would be able to hear from the Lord. As we see this, as we see God puts godly people in our lives to warn us when we're going wrong, when we're going sideways, just as, you know, Samuel was put in Saul's life. See, it's just horrible. Our situations that should make us think about our disobedient lifestyles, you know, the only way we're going to know is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But if we've hardened ourselves so much, the only thing we have left is the people around us that God has put there. See, and if you let them speak into your life, then maybe you'll be able to recognize the problem. Or are you going to argue with them? Because even though deep down you know you're wrong, you don't want to not be right. Trying to cover up the first lie with the second, the third with the fourth, that eventually you're caught because you can't get your story straight. We hate arguments, like I said, but we hate not being right even more. The sound of pride, we commit to lies that perpetuate a feeling of false self of righteousness. Then when we're caught, we decide to say sorry, just like our brother Saul. Not to do the right thing, but just so we can move around what's right, so we can continue the cycle of sin. But alas, my friends, there is a time that truth will have its day. It will be. We will see one day that there's great consequences to not listening to the Lord. But Samuel gives us that profound answer, remember? He gives us that profound answer in this passage, an answer that should haunt us. It should haunt us when we hear this, that God desires obedience more than sacrifice. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Do you hear the sound of sacrifice? Do you hear the sound of sacrifice in your life? See, we all feel like we sacrifice, don't we? Come on, everybody in here feels like they've sacrificed something in their life, don't they? Well, some of us have, right? We've sacrificed so much to get to where we are, right? We feel like we sacrifice. It actually can be a driving force that says, well, I do this and I do that, so I deserve this and I deserve that. And well, because this is best for me, because I've done all this. This is the best. And we get wrapped up in the sound of our own work. See, we're not listening to the Lord no more. We're wrapped in the sound of our own work. We do not understand the sound of sacrifice. See, if the Lord says that a sound should be condemned, the sound of self, then how can we say it's best? How can we say it's best? Only through obedience can we truly give true sacrifice. The sound of sacrifice should come from the song of obedience. Legitimate sacrifices only come through a living obedience. A legitimate sacrifice for someone, you know, in back in their day, back in Saul and Samuel's day, was not that they offered a dead animal, but that when they came to offer that dead animal, that it was worship in their heart. It was to worship and to offer to God in their heart what they had, the best of what they had. Do we understand that sound? That sound of our heart, giving it all. Psalm 51:16 says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you do not despise." a broken heart. That's the sound. A broken heart is the sound of sacrifice, one that is humble, one that does not stand and say, hey, look at me, look at self, look what I've done. And even then, like, I think about that. You know, we're so concerned about what we do, and I did this and I did that, when God, he doesn't need our donations. He doesn't need anything. He owns everything. We can look in Psalm 50 for that. He says that, I will not take a bull from your house, nor the goats of your fold, for every beast of the forest is mine. So we can't hear sacrifice without obedience, because sacrifice without obedience is hypocrisy. It does not belong anywhere else. So if we have it, like, have you ever had, like, you know, you have iTunes, and so you can hear like a little snippet of the song where you just like get a little bit. You're like, oh man, that song sounds awesome, right? Well, a certain sound that comes from a song may not belong in another song. Certain sounds only belong in certain songs, right? And the song of sacrifice only belongs in that sound. It comes in this music that is of obedience. It's of the heart. It's of worship. So here it says, when we sacrifice and we do it in obedience, when we don't go through that empty ritual, you know, we see in Hosea 6:6, I love this verse, for I deserve mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Like, that is so wonderful. That's what he desires, our heart. God desires our heart. He wants to hear our heart. He wants us to listen. He wants us desire to know his heart. It's a love story. We don't want to end up like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. Sacrifice is about worship. I think that Jesus shows it ultimately upon the cross. See, when we think of sounds of the cross, of the crucifixion, it's not the sound of the wood scraping across the ground as he carried the cross, as he made his way to Golgotha. It wasn't the sound of the nails being driven into the hands or the feet. I would even go to say, nor the cries or what came out of his voice, out of the pain that the nails and the uncomfortable feeling of the cross. But it was the sound of his heart. It was the sound of sacrifice. It was the sound of obedience. It's the sound of giving everything to the point of death in order so we could have life. Do you hear the sound? We should ask ourselves, does our heart sing the song of obedience? Do we have a submissive heart and a genuine faith so that we can worship in spirit? I loved when you guys came up last week and sang the song, Making Melodies in My Heart to the King of Kings. That is the heart of obedience. The heart of wanting to have fellowship with our God, that we would hear from Him, to be in spirit, as John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Man, Saul was so far away from this. Saul was so far away from singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So I ask you to go out today, guys, to ask a serious question. Do you know what the sound of sacrifice is? Do you know the song of obedience? Do you make melodies in your heart to the King of Kings? Or as Romans says, are you a living sacrifice? 1 Samuel 10:5. This is interesting, and it makes my heart break even more, but I have to share it. This is when Samuel first became obedient to the Lord. And he was being ordained, and all this good stuff was happening to him, and all was going well. And it says, and it happened, when you have come, and this is the Lord giving instruction to Saul, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from a high place with stringed instrument and tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Whoa! This blows me away. For us who carry the Holy Spirit, that have the Spirit in us through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we believe on the work of the cross, he got to taste it. He got to taste it. He knew what he was missing out on. And it just reminds me that we haven't changed. We're all like Saul. We're all like him. So, guys, are you hearing from the Lord? Are you in that pattern? Are you in that pattern of idolatry? What's in your life right now that takes higher precedence over Jesus? Is it family? Is it a dog? Pets are big these days. Is it your car? Is it stuff? Well, all I know is God is good enough. If it doesn't work, what we're going to hear is feedback. Well, no, like I know sound techs and people, they know about feedback. And what feedback is, it's just a sound loop. It's a frequency, and the speaker will go out and the mic will pick it up, and depending on the closeness of it, it makes this sound loop. And that's what happens when we get caught up in ourselves and get stuck in ourselves and the sound of ourselves. It makes a horrible noise. It makes a horrible noise. It's like, oh man, what have I done? And so, you know, if you recognize that there is feedback in your life, if you realize that there's pride in your life, if you realize there's idols in your life, if you realize that there's these things in your life that are keeping you away from the Lord, that are keeping you from listening to the Lord, just like there was Saul, then guys, stop it. I don't know any other word to say. Stop it. And return to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Recognize that you're a sinner saved by grace, and let Jesus give you a heart of obedience that's a sacrifice that matches, it follows this sacrifice of obedience that we have, the song that we have, the sound we have. It's in following what Jesus did for us to this lost and dying world. He's eternally alive, full of mercy, knowledge, and power. We must hear the sound of the cross, friends. The sound of true sacrifice. The sound of sacrifice is from a song of obedience. We cannot hear if idolatry, fear, pride, and sin are there. God cannot bless us if we march to the sound of our own voice. If we know the history of how Saul became king, it's because people desired it. It's not because God desired it. God just, he wanted to have a relationship with the people. And so he said, okay. And that's a bad deal, because God will give us sometimes what we ask, even though it's not his will. He'll let us do what we want to do and carry on what we want to do. And he'll give it to us, and then it'll fall apart. And that's what it did. The nation of Israel, it fell apart because they wanted to put a man. They put their investment in a man. So God allowed man to do what they wanted to do, but man's will can never substitute God's will. So guys, let us not fall deaf to the word of God. Let us not grow deaf to the sound of his voice. There's so many of you, and I'll tell you, that when you cannot hear God's word, and you think all is lost, and you think that God is no longer anywhere around, I pray you would immerse yourself in his word. Immerse yourself. Put your, I don't, write, write his word in on your walls, on your mirror, in the car, those messages of hope, his word, it's the reality that it holds eternity together and gives us our breath. Immerse yourself in it. I don't know anybody who's not immersed in God's word that is not hearing from God. Really. Like, people are like, well, I'm not hearing from God. But it's because they're not immersing themselves. They haven't put people around them. When God warns them, hey, put godly people around you, they're not listening. Immerse yourself. Because when we do, our heart for self and the things we desire dies. See, when we immerse ourselves in the word, all of a sudden self kind of falls away. One of my best tricks that I do for young people is, if they're really selfish, we go on a missions trip. It breaks them right away. They see that people have less than them. They see that they have it very good. And then all of a sudden, it becomes less about self. I put them out to serve. And they're like, oh, wow, feels really good. This is really awesome. And then Lord will start, when they stop thinking about themselves, then the Lord starts speaking to their heart. And watch out. Watch out. There's nothing like a young generation on fire for Christ. But there's nothing like a bunch of people sitting at Calvary Chapel, Wichita tonight, forgetting about self and being on fire for Christ. Do you really want that? Do you really want that? Because when we do all this, when our heart for self and the things that we desire dies, we receive this new heart that lives, one that hears our Master's voice, His melody, His songs of eternal praise. I want that. If you do, He is waiting. Because if we don't, we're just another one-hit wonder. Right? We talk a lot about music tonight. Don't want to be that one-hit wonder. And when I say that, that's me being generous. Take time to stop and see if there's idols in your life, guys. Just stop. For your own preservation. For your own good. For the love that God has for you, He has so much for you and has so much more for you. What is more important than Jesus? What are your fears, guys? Look at, see if there's fears in your life. If there's fears that are more than God, if you fear man more than God, take them to the Lord. Say, Lord, stop. Don't let me be afraid of this or that. Anything that stands between me and you, Lord, cast it out. Pray that I would be bold. And guys, what are you arguing about right now in your lives? Where's that pride raising up in your life? Is it going to matter in 100 years? Can you just let the creator of the universe be right for once? Put away your pride. Be a peacemaker like Samuel. When we humble ourselves, we can be transparent about who we really are. Guys, so if you cast out the pride, you become this peacemaker, you want to listen to God, you humble yourself, we can begin to be transparent about who we really are. We are just really a bad garage band that wants to believe our own hype most of the time. But guys, that is when we can begin to have ears to hear, when we realize and see how damaged we really are. The sound of sacrifice is the song of obedience, where the flesh dies and the spirit lives, where we can worship in perfect fellowship, experiencing the perfect sound of His will into our existence. Man, what a God we serve. What a beautiful sound He makes. Into our lives, into our hearts, into our congregation, into eternity. Thank you for listening tonight. This really had to make me think about where I'm at and my identity and if I'm hearing from God. I've been going through a place where I've been floating around a lot from kind of ministry to ministry, loving people, doing this and that. And it's been different. But at the end of the day, when I get all the garbage out of my life, it's just been a time that I've been able to seek God and where He's been able to show me where my idols are at, to show me where my pride's at, to show me where these things are at. Take time with the Lord, guys. Take time with the Lord. Sit and listen. Wait and listen. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We love you, Lord, and Father, we just pray that you would give us ears to hear. That we, even though we're like Saul, we want to rely on your grace and mercy to be like Jesus, Lord. To die to ourselves. To hear the sound of sacrifice, Lord. What a sweet sound that is. That you would die for us. That your heart desired to do it. That it pleased you, Lord, to bruise your son. Father, let us not forget the price of that sacrifice, Lord. And that we would honor you. And that when we are obedient, that it would be out of worship to you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are His. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.